Today on Real Radio.
Look, let's be honest. As Christians in the world, has the church goofed up the message? Yep. Has the church lost sight of it? Oh, yeah. Has the church even done so much against the message? Even denying his name by adopting other things? Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. We're looking at the last two paragraphs in this chapter, which tell us of the arrest of Israel's Messiah. The detractors and enemies of Jesus dare him and continue to try to trip him up. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Examining God.
No, the truth is God helps those who cannot help themselves. And so I want to get in that line. Lord, I can't save myself. That's why Jesus came. He cannot be provoked. Listen, he was beaten, mocked, blindfolded, and struck. The Bible tells us, and this is one of the reasons why I'm a Christian this morning. Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised and rejected by men. Speaking of Israel's Messiah, written 743 years before Jesus was born. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Note that, not his own, ours. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the Messiah. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That word means he didn't defend himself. He was what? He was led as a
lamb
to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You guys are amazing. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, who is this Messiah? Revelation 5, 6 tells us about the future. John says, and I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders, get ready, stood a what? Lamb, as though it had been slain. This is Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was held, mocked, beaten, blindfolded, and struck. The Bible tells us again in Isaiah 50, verse 6. This is awesome. I'm tempted to lose control right now. Isaiah 50, verse 6, prophesied regarding the Messiah. Here's the cool blessing for us, or the cool problem for you if you don't believe. God speaks to the prophet Isaiah and says, tell them this. Okay, what do you want me to tell them? God says, okay, Rick, hit the quote key on your computer. Quote, Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me. Excuse me, can you think at all in the Bible where you can even assume where God turns his back to the smiters to beat him on earth? I gave my back to the smiters. That is, go for it. Rip me open. Tear me in pieces. And I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. God said, I will let humankind pluck out my beard. You know what? If you're not a Christian, you need to use your head. This is awesome. The Jews had these scriptures before Jesus was even born. You ever read a map? I know us guys, we don't do maps. But we should. Save our marriage. Take out a map and look what's around you. Open the Bible and look around. When did God say, tear my back open and pluck out my beard? He goes on. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Wow, that's over the top. It's amazing. Also this, look, verse 64 goes on. God cannot be fooled. And they asked him, saying, prophesy. Who is the one who struck you? They're mocking him. He's blindfolded now, and they would hit him. And they're saying, tell us who hit you. The word also implies who hit you and who is about to hit you. And I know this is brutal, and it is terrible, but they're challenging his fame. So we've heard about your prophetic announcements about the end of the world, about the future. Bang! Slap! Tell us, who hit you, and who's going to hit you next? Isn't that mean? And you think about that for a moment. When God is examined, he's proven. He gives his cheek to his smiters. He receives the spit. He's beaten. Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, for you, for me. Here's the amazing thing. Did they really want him to answer? Who struck you? Really? What if Jesus would have said, time out. The guy who just struck me is Bob, and he's married to Hephzibah, and he lives on Hezekiah Street over there on the south side of Jerusalem. He's got three kids. He's got a girlfriend on the side. He drives a black donkey with tinted windows. And he's going to die falling off a cliff in 3 years from now. Could you imagine? Jesus could have said that. I kind of wish he would have. Who struck you? Well, if you really want me to tell you, he could have. The Bible says that Jesus knew all things. He could read the minds of men. This is awesome. Your God on trial, your Messiah being examined. Why? So that the world would know that your faith is placed in a worthy object for your eternal life. I'm excited about this. This may step on some toes. This is Calvary. There's Catholics here. There's Baptists, Lutherans. There's Arminians. There's Calvinists. You name it. This is a blender of faith in this building. And I love it that way. There's always a fight going on all the time. So here you go. I'm standing here right now because I believe this. I believe that God that saved me is the God that called me. And the God that saved me and called me is able to keep me. I believe that not one person, including starting with me, because I'm really the only one I care about, is that he's going to present me to heaven in the end. I'm going to make it. You know why I'm going to make it? Because he did it. He said it. And he's going to complete it. Once he started that work, he's going to finish it. I don't worry about it. He's going to save me all the way through to the end. I don't worry about that. Well, Pastor, how do you know if you're called or not? I don't worry about that. I want him, and the only reason why I want him is because he wanted me. And what he wants, he gets. So he's got me. I didn't save myself. He saved me. He went to the cross. He asked me to believe in him. And by his grace, I believe in him. And so because of that, I trust him to get me all the way through to the end. I don't plan on living my life and missing the target at the end. Are you kidding? Nope. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. That's a promise given to those who keep the faith. So keep the faith. Amen. I had to throw that in there because it sounds like you should say it like that. And then accused. The God of the Bible is in control and God cannot be accused. See, what do you mean accused? Well, look at verse 65. It says, many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. The word means they attacked him. They said things about him that was not true. Well, that's going to happen. When I say he cannot be accused, he's being accused. Of course he's being accused. Here's what I mean. And by the way, if you can hear me right now, you need to listen carefully. You too will be accused. Are you sure, Pastor? Oh, I'm sure. Here's the cool thing. The accusation doesn't stick unless there's evidence. Don't give anybody evidence. If they tell you, or if they tell their friends, you know what? Susie's a nincompoop. She's a bona fide nincompoop. She's certified. Nincompoop. You know what? People are going to say stuff. Here's the cool thing. Don't let there be any truth to it. Well, how do I get the word out that there's no truth to it? You don't have to. God knows. Can you handle that? God knows. You know what? I don't think she likes me. She's a really mean person. You know what? Hey, listen. Don't freak out over that. God knows. These guys are blaspheming Jesus. They're saying all kinds of things negative about him. What's he doing? Does he get a blog and a website and say, no, that's not me? Did he send down a bunch of angels? You know, attention, this is Gabriel and Michael. We're here to give test. No! His life, his words, his actions had proven what he had declared. They had, in fact, another gospel tells us that they had to hire false witnesses against him. That tells you something, huh? No, he's being proven. Accusations will come. In fact, mark this down. It's very, very cool. In Romans 16, verse 7, the Bible says, I urge you, brethren, note those, mark them, write their name down, who cause division and offenses. That's against the body of Christ, the church. Contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And avoid them. For those who are of such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. By smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the innocent. So watch out. Jesus is being attacked, church. He's the example. He trusts his Father. Point number two, examining God is found in verses 66 to 68. And that is the God of the Bible will be the judge. Oh, he's going to be the judge. He is the judge. By the way, I wouldn't want to be a judge in this world knowing that God's the judge. That just terrifies me. Unless I'm a spirit-filled, Bible-believing judge. And then even then I would tread in terror. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? For the kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, come, let us break their bonds in pieces and let us cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Church, this is amazing. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. They're hitting him. And Jesus takes it all because, listen, he knows, number one, that he's to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The cross before the crown. The tomb before being re-enthroned. It's all in Scripture. What's amazing is that the second psalm says, regarding the word deep displeasure, the Hebrew means God will mock the world of unbelievers. It means that God will scoff at them in the end. It means that God will deride them in the end. Can you imagine being derided and mocked by God? You say, well, I don't believe it. Listen, I understand that, but you're still going to be mocked by God in the end. And you don't have to be mocked by God in the end. He shall hold them in derision. This is a terrifying word. The Hebrew means that he will sound or surround them with the sounds of his anger. I don't know what that means. To be in surround sound with the voice of God who's angry at you? Yes, it's true. The Bible says God loves you, but the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. So, man, how do I get out of this mess? Jesus. Jesus. These men that you saw on the screen, that you read in the Bible with all of their religious trappings, these men knew the Bible better than any disciple. These men had degrees and achievements which got them on that council to begin with. They were no goofballs. Outwardly, every one of those guys would have impressed us with their religiosity. We would have all been impressed by them. But they didn't know Christ personally. They didn't recognize him, and he was standing right in front of them. And yet the Bible even prophesied that. And look at verse 67. It says, regarding the God of the Bible who will be the judge, it says that God asks the questions. It's God asking the questions. You think they're asking the question? They say, if you are the Christ, tell us. The very question they're asking has been the buzz in Israel for 33 years. It's the word on the street by the common man. He's the Christ. They ask, if you are the Christ, tell us. He had been telling them. He told them back in John chapter 6. He told them in John chapter 8. Among many other places. It's really amazing. No, it's God who asks the questions. But I want you to look at the tone and the words. If you are the Christ, tell us. Does that sound familiar to you? I thought about that for a little bit, and I came to Luke 4, verse 3, and the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. You hear the tone? In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God, the eternal Son of God. And then third, under this second point of consideration, we look at this right here in verse 67, that God answers our thoughts. And He said to them, He knows their thoughts. He says to them, if I tell you, you will, number one, by no means believe. And if you are also ask you, you will, number two, by no means answer me. Three, you're not going to let me go either. He tells them, oh, you know what? Guess what? I can ask you questions and you're not going to answer me. You guys have a little pact, a little agreement. You're not going to answer. They think by their silence, by the way, that they're winning. You might sit here today and say, I'm not going to vote about Jesus. I'm not going to vote. It's too controversial of a topic. The Bible tells us about that attempt to not vote for Him. He says, if you're not with me, then you're against me. It's amazing to me because those leaders knew who the Messiah would be in the Scripture, but they didn't apply it to Jesus. Number two, they knew where He was going to be born, but they didn't apply it to Jesus, even though He was born there. They would have known that the Messiah would perform miracles. According to the book of Isaiah, Jesus performed the exact miracles, and they didn't believe. They knew exactly what the Messiah would say from the Old Testament scriptures, but they wouldn't listen to Him. Today, people condemn Jesus. They blaspheme Jesus. They reject Jesus. And all the evidence is there for them to believe in Him, but they push Him off. Never for intellectual reasons, mind you. Never for spiritual reasons, exactly. Emotional reasons. I will not believe in Him. And yet He's the very one that you need. Third point, final point, verses 69 to 71, examining God. The God of the Bible has come to us. You see, what's He doing in that mess? Why does He take that? Why doesn't He do something? Because the whole plan was for the God of the Bible to come to us. And verse 69 teaches us, verse 69 is awesome, that Jesus reassumes His rightful power. Look at this. Circle the word afterward. It is amazing. Word. We'll look at its meaning here in a moment. The Son, Jesus says afterward, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Bible students, right next to verse 69, jot this down. Daniel 7:13. It's the only place it appears in the Bible. What is Jesus doing? He's actually taking Daniel 7:13 and He's calling the religious leadership to go to their most esteemed futuristic prophet. By the way, Isaiah was their most esteemed prophet regarding the nation. But if you wanted to know the future and you were Jewish in the Old Testament, you would go to Daniel. And Jesus says, you want to know the future? Go to Daniel. I'll tell you about it. Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel says, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man was coming with clouds of heaven. Jesus, are you guys with me? You're so quiet. Are you here? Jesus calls these guys to go back and look at Daniel. I'm the one. That's me. You see, when they asked Him, are you the Christ? He cannot lie against Himself. He had to tell them the truth. So in this devilish way, they think they got Him. And they're going to use the Word of God to get Him. And He uses the Word of God to reaffirm His position, His power. And He says, yep, you got me. You got me. I'm the one in the book of Daniel that Daniel saw. Guilty as charged. This single verse alone, church, verse 69, records and reveals one of the most absolute, monumental, undeniable declarations of Jesus Christ, that He is God. If anyone ever says to you, He never claimed to be God, He did too. In many places, mind you, but right here. Circle verse 69. It is glorious. Verse 69 is incredibly powerful. He reassumes His rightful place. When He says hereafter, it is a declaration of a prophet. It's a declaration of authority. And yet in the very verse 69, He's proclaiming that He is none other than God Himself. You say, Jack, that's not what he says. It says he's going to be seated at the right hand of the power on high. That is a place reserved for God only. Here's the part that should drive you, the skeptic, crazy, if that's you today, is that God, who is the Lord, Adonai, Yahweh, has a Christ, a Messiah, who will be mocked, ridiculed, beaten, scorned, spit upon, sent from heaven to earth. And that one says, I am the Son of Man who will be seated upon the throne of God. Jesus Christ is your Savior, your Lamb, who takes away my sins and your sins if you'll trust him, because he's the only one able, because it would take the God-man to come to this world, to live in our skin, to feel what it feels like to be hurt, to be rejected, to be wounded, to be lied about, to be cheated on, fill in the blank, to be abused, to be molested, fill in the blank. And the very one that your emotions have tempted you to curse and not believing and blaspheming him is the one in front of you ready to save you. Amen. Your anger has been misdirected all these years. Jesus says, I tell you what, Satan has come to rob and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have abundant life. Amen. Oh, man. No wonder why you're Christians today. You're smart. No other religion in the world's got this message. Look, let's be honest. As Christians in the world, has the church goofed up the message? Yep. Has the church lost sight of it? Oh, yeah. Has the church even done so much against the message? Even denying his name by adopting other things? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, Pastor. That's why I don't go to church anymore, because of the stupid church did this to me when... I agree with you. Last time I checked, though, the church wasn't hanging on a cross. Church is full of a bunch of weirdos. Oh, come on. A bunch of hypocrites there. Like you're not. But for those of you who have come to meet him for real, it pains us to say the church has misrepresented him. It pains us to say, yep, you know what? We're all hypocrites. None of us are perfect. But for those of us who have truly been changed, we want to be perfect. We fall terribly short, but we have an awesome Savior.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Examining God. A look at the last two paragraphs of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, which chronicles events in the final hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth prior to his execution. It's part of our teacher's verse by verse through this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, wrapping up chapter 22 means that we only have two chapters to go in this New Testament Gospel of Luke. If you've just recently joined us on a daily basis here on Real Radio, and you'd like to hear all of these studies from the beginning, well, here's the good news. This entire series through the book of Luke on two MP3 CDs is now being offered here on Real Radio for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and really a great way to internalize this first century historical narrative about Israel's Messiah. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more and to place your order. Just click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.